And now, Skeletor plays with himself.
I made it to the top of the mountain! It's me, Battle Diamond Skeletor, the action figure! Oh, what? What? You expected something else? Sickos!
Hello, and welcome to another new adventure of Structured Gibberish Extreme. We're recording this today, Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. Incidentally, 1,968 days since the last Strong Bad email. I'm your host, Brian Sokol. This is your host, Pat Hughes. And boy, do we have some stuff to talk to you about today.
Boy, oh boy. I should start off by saying, a moment ago, I almost choked to death on a sip of water. But I muted it so you guys didn't have to hear me die.
You know, I was going to ask, how do you choke on water? And then I realized I, on many occasions, have choked on water. and then I realized my question is still valid. How do you do that?
I don't know. But I'm going to take another sip to try and rinse this down. So wish me luck.
I mean, I've choked on saliva before. Did you ever do that? Like you're just standing around and like your mouth is a little dry. You build up some saliva and you go to swallow it. And I don't know, like you get a hiccup or you take a breath at the wrong time and you just, and that's it. And now you're coughing and you can't even, like you choked on nothing. I'm going to have water too now.
Yeah, good. Good. It's refreshing. My throat's okay. A little scratchy now.
But. Okay. So here's the big news. We got to get this out of the way right away. All day, everyone's been asking me, what do I think of this? Even Pat, first thing we did.
Well, I mean,
I get Pat on the line. First thing he says is, did you see the thing? I immediately knew what he was talking about. So,
of course he did. It's important.
Yeah, it is. It is. This is important. So this fella named, see now I had his name right on the thing here. Joseph Kahn. I knew it was Kahn. I couldn't find his first name. Joseph Kahn. Kahn is how I was yelling when I saw this. produced this short, quote-unquote, fan film called...
Yeah, it's a little bit above fan film.
Well, yes.
Yes, and no. Yes and no.
I put fan in quotes.
Oh, I could not, hear that, I guess, now that
not,
you said.
Not film. Because it is a very well done film. It is, you know, technically well done. Anyway, we're referring to this video called Power/Rangers, mm-hmm. which is how it's stylized. This guy made this roughly 15-minute video in which he attempted to reboot Mighty Morphin Power Rangers into the quote dark and gritty universe. Yeah, basically, here's what happened. He wanted to see how far he could take something that was kind of silly, and push it as far as he can toward the realistic, I guess you might say, dark and gritty. They use that phrase a lot, interpretation.
Yeah. I like to call this the Zack Snyder fuck.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that. The ZSF.
Yeah.
So I watched this thing. My initial reaction upon seeing it was that I hated it in its entirety because I didn't understand. Like I'm watching it and I'm like, am I watching Mass Effect at first? and then later I was like, is this Battlestar Galactica? What's going on? Like,
is this Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, is this Dawson's Creek? What am I watching here? so I did find an interview with the guy, in which he said, yeah, you know, I wanted to make this dark and gritty reboot of anything. And he, I forgot what he said. I don't think it's in this particular article, that, but he had like thrown around some ideas that weren't really working out. And someone suggested Power Rangers. And he was like, I know absolutely nothing about Power Rangers, but it's from Japan and anime comes from Japan. And I'm a big fan of anime. So, you know, I pretty much understand how the show must work. And then someone gave me some, you know, told me about some things from it. And we went
sure somebody
there.
Gave him like a set of trading cards. That's what it looked like. He got his information out of.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they drop a lot of in universe terms like Blade Blasters and the Machine Empire, you know, but
I meant to ask you about that because I didn't recognize the Machine Empire.
The Machine Empire are the villains from Zio.
Okay.
Season 4.
That was definitely after I stopped watching, like actually watching the show around the time Tommy became the White Ranger. I watched for a little while after that, but
oh, that was when
not,
it got good.
Not for long. I disagree.
No, that was when it really got good. I'm really torn because on the one hand, I understand that he was not a fan of the show and he was not trying to create something that did justice to the characters or the, mm-hmm. or the property, that he was just using this as a base to make something that was dark and gritty. Right. And because
to
of
which
that,
he achieved his goal.
Yes, he did achieve his goal. I think more than half of the, times that people get shot, the blood splatters directly into the camera.
Yeah. That's really the only way to do digital blood. If that was digital blood, I couldn't really tell.
I think it was. I don't know for sure because it is very well done. And that's the thing is that it is very well done. And I feel like the fact that so much effort was put into this to make it so perfect like that, and to just completely mess up. Like I feel like he squandered this opportunity. This could have been a very awesome, not just an experiment in filmmaking, but a very awesome tribute to Power Rangers.
It could have been,
and it was not.
If he cared to, but you know, I mean, here's the thing, though. Here's what I'm saying about this. First of all, I liked it. I didn't love it, and again, I didn't feel like it was like a faithful representation of Power Rangers. They obviously kind of did whatever, you know, but they're just like, let's name drop.
Yeah.
That's what they did. There's like,
right.
Let's talk about Zach. Ah, the black one, you know, it was really, you know, poor Trini, much like in real life, was dead.
Yeah.
She got no screen time in this.
I was not sure if they were trying to play this into like an alternate future of the show or if this was just an entirely different, cause like they follow Tommy's continuity of like, oh, he has his powers and then he lost them and then he got them back and then he lost them. But then at the same time, it seems that Rocky and Jason were both the Red Ranger, maybe simultaneously or something, or maybe
yeah,
Rocky was
a
different color. I don't know. I also don't really understand, I don't understand how this universe would work where the Rangers, who are clearly outside the law, would be bound by a treaty.
Well, I think that this is where your knowledge of what really transpires in the storylines clouds what they're telling you.
Do they have powers? Why do they only use guns? Like bullet guns?
I don't think they have powers. I really don't think they have powers.
So their reimagining is that these are like a special forces group that wears goofy looking costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the costumes themselves had some power to them. We see, the Black Ranger's helmet is not only bullet repellent, but it has good aim because every time he got shot in the head, the bullet ricocheted back and shot the guy in the head who was shooting him in the head. But It was also kind of neat, you know, when he said that it was Morphin time, and then his helmet mystically appeared in his hand. To which he then also, I mean, he has really good aim. He hurls his helmet at an assailant and then ricochets it off that guy's face, and then it lodges itself onto his head in the appropriate spot.
Yeah.
Very, you know, he's a marksman.
Right. No, it was very well done, and a lot of the scenes were well choreographed and everything. And
right. Yeah, at no point, with the exception of Starbuck, what's her name? What's her
Katie
name?
Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff. I thought her acting was a little wooden.
Yeah, well, it kind of always is.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I always expect more of her. I don't know why.
Let me tell you my two biggest disappointments from this entire film.
Okay, and then I'll tell you my one.
Okay, maybe yours is mine. I don't know. But Balkan Skull.
Balkan Skull, not one of mine, but yes. Okay,
Balkan Skull are the unsung heroes of the TV show. They started out as the bullies.
Right.
And became heroes in their own right. And they were inspired to do so by the Power Rangers.
They were the everyman who took the inspiration from the heroes and became better.
They unknowingly bullied the Power Rangers in high school, and then being inspired by them caused them to be better people in general.
Right.
And in this film, it implies that the Rangers actually bullied them to the point that they betrayed them to the Machine Empire.
Right.
And got them literally murdered.
Well, just the one.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't have stopped there, but...
Well, they did stop there because then they OD'd and died.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's probably also a little bit off character, but...
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. Like, Bulk becomes a samurai sensei in the future, mm-hmm. you know? Like these guys, and Skull becomes like a movie star or something. I don't know. He's rich. Not in real life, in the show. In real life, he's averagely gainfully employed. But
Is he? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know that that's
makes true. A lot of money from going to conventions.
Yeah, that's the only time I've seen him.
Yeah. So I was very much offended by that, and I assume that is because the creators of this knew Balkan Skull from probably like a 2-line description of the characters in the first season or something like that. So
yeah.
So one, I was not a fan of that. And two, a couple of months ago, Katie Sackhoff tweeted that she was getting fitted for a costume for a movie.
Oh, that's right.
We all thought she was going to be Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel, and she was filming this.
That is much sadder.
Yes, that is another missed opportunity right there that we are not getting back.
Now, do we know for sure that this was what she was doing and absolutely not doing the other thing? Maybe it was happening at the same time.
No, I'm pretty sure she said it was this.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That is upsetting.
Yeah.
Although, again, like I said, her acting was fairly wooden.
Yeah.
So maybe we're really not missing out.
Maybe we were spared a wooden Captain Marvel. I don't know. Who knows? But other than that, I'll tell you some things I liked, and then you can tell your things.
I just wanted to say the one thing that did.
All right, fine. I'm sorry.
Because we're on the things that we didn't like.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to tell you. The only thing I didn't like is I really wanted Tommy to be Tommy. Like, none of the other characters were who they were, but I wanted, what's that kid's name? What's that actually older man's name?
Jason David Frank. He's like
Jason David Frank.
He's like 38 years old now or something.
Master Jason David Frank. If there was any of them that could have done it, it would have been him.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, because they didn't seem to show Tommy. But I mean, that's the other part about when you're doing something like this. And you're like, they kept mentioning people's names, and then you would see them, but you wouldn't realize that you were seeing them because, you know, why would you think that that's him? Even, you know, you're talking about this other person that you know.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, in reality, I'm pretty sure they showed Tommy like 3 or 4 times before they said that it was Tommy. Mm-hmm. And so the whole time I was like, you know, it would be really awesome, like really awesome, if it was actually Tommy, like really awesome. And then it wasn't. It just wasn't him. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
oh, I see.
I guess I could take solace in the fact, and spoiler alert for the end of this video, y'all, I could take solace in the fact that I don't actually know for sure that Balkan Skull sold them out, since it was actually Rita in disguise that killed the Red Ranger.
Well, I mean, Balkan Skull were still involved. They, because they, you know, they still died ODing in the other room.
I guess that's probably true. So yeah, so,
well, it was true because Rita. But Rita was always dressed as Kimberly. You know, spoiler alert, kids. Always dressed as Kimberly throughout the whole thing, which I thought was weird. Like, why is her being dressed up as somebody who we find out, and it's seriously, guys, spoiler alert, that we find out in the end is dead the whole time. Why is that a good disguise? You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's probably common knowledge at this point.
Yeah.
She's dead.
James Vanderbeek plays Rocky DeSantos.
Right.
And I assume that one would think that for the amount of time he spends moving little circles around on a fake computer hologram thing, that he would know that the Pink Ranger had died.
Right.
Like, he seems to know
everything about everybody else.
Yeah, he seems to have a whole bunch of intel about other things, so I don't know why he would not, or maybe he did know that, and he knew that she was Rita, and that she was just in captivity. Like, he knew that the Green Ranger would come for her no matter what. I don't know, I feel like we might be analyzing this shitty, shitty film far too much, because the plot of this thing is really, you know, I mean, it's hard to make a reboot of something like this that requires so much backstory to actually, you know, it's hard to have a reboot where you're starting like way into the reboot and you're only going to show 15 minutes of it, mm-hmm. and for it to actually make complete sense. So I'm not docking him points for that, because I don't expect him to make a Lord of the Rings trilogy of this. Right. Just so that I understand the history of the characters.
The things that I liked about this was I liked the realism, you know. This is one of the times, this is like one of the only times I feel like the characters could use to be grounded more so in reality. You know, I guess when you start out with something that's so obnoxiously, I don't know, poppity and happy and shit. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it can use a darkening to make you interesting.
Yeah.
You know, to whereas, you know, other characters, because again, this show was, you know, wasn't about, you know, it's not like these characters were supposed to embody truth, justice, the American way. You know, these characters were often depicted in dark ways, but it just was, you know, it was shown to you in such a silly manner that you could never take it seriously. So the option to take it seriously now, I think, is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I just need to defend my beliefs that this is okay, but Man of Steel is not. but yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, and Brian said it when I was talking to him about this right before the show, this did go way too dark. You know, I would still want a nice heroic aspect. But again, like, the feel of the world, I'm okay with. You know, I really, really liked the Rangers on the ground and the Zords fighting, you know, in the air. That was cool.
I thought that was cool too. I just didn't understand why they had bullet guns.
Right. That's true. I don't know why they had bullet guns. I thought that kind of pulled me out of it.
Yeah. That's what really gave me like a first person shooter kind of feel to it. Because there's a spoiler alert for Mass Effect 3, guys. There's a part in at the very end of Mass Effect 3 where you're running through a battlefield that's almost exactly like the opening scene of this, and you have bullet guns. Actually, they're not bullet guns. They're Mass Effect. They're actually guns with a block of material in it, and the gun like shaves a sliver off of the block and then propels it forward using a Mass Effect field.
We probably don't need a Mass Effect lesson right
okay,
now.
Okay, sorry about that. And so it really reminded me of that, and it just kind of bothered me because the Rangers have usually been martial artists first and laser gun toting vigilantes second. And right. The martial arts that are portrayed in here, there's not much, but it's very good when it's portrayed. Mm-hmm. Although I think the Black Ranger practicing on the practice dummy thing was a little like the sound effects were making it seem like he was practicing more intensely than he actually was.
Right.
But
I also think that those practice dummies, that one in particular, is probably a really bad practice dummy. its little nubs that he was hitting were very close together.
That's for when the evil spider hugger wants to give you his death hug.
I see. I had no idea. Yeah, but
look it up. Sure. It's probably a real monster on Power Rangers.
Probably is. Probably is.
They made a monster out of a purse once. also, there was one that baked them into a giant pizza. It was Italian. It was an Italian monster. Anyway.
My poor people.
What else is there to say about this? I feel like I am never going to watch this again.
I think there's nothing more to say about it. I think it's a great conversation piece. I think a lot of people are going to continue asking Brian about it for the next several weeks, possibly months.
Yep.
And then it'll die down for a little while, and then it'll come back. More people will find it and hunt him down and be like, Brian, you're the only one we know who really likes this.
I've seen on YouTube, and I'm sure I won't be able to find it again, but a while back I watched some like college students' film project in which they tried to reboot Power Rangers to be a little bit more realistic, and it involved like, you know, five teenagers who worked in some of them worked in a lab, and they had this alien artifact, and they were trying to open it or see what it was, and it turned out that it was the dumpster that had Rita in it. And the first thing she does is turn the lab workers into the monsters that she typically has hanging around with her, like Goldar and Finster and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, while being a very low quality video, was much closer to the actual type of realistic approach to Power Rangers that I would have preferred. Mm-hmm. It's just this whole idea of them apparently being drafted into a war. Like, I didn't get that line about them being drafted into a war that wasn't theirs or something like that. Like,
well,
it yours if they're trying to destroy your planet?
Well, because the idea was, and again, you have to see it from my point of, I'm a very, very casual fan of Power Rangers. Very obscenely casual fan of Power Rangers. To whereas you're a mega fan, you know all the different ins and outs. So from the casual fan's point of view, I just saw that as, you know, it was really a fight between Rita and Zordon, you know, that they kind of got drafted into having to participate in. Now, granted, you know, the Earth was put into peril, and it would have been if they got drafted into it or not. But it wasn't necessarily their fight until Zordon was like, hey, come here, be my Power Rangers, and I will be the guy who watches you be my Power Rangers.
I also didn't fully understand the relationship between Rita and the Machine Empire. I don't know if she's, because I'll give you the real quick backstory. In the show, when the Machine Empire arrives, the first thing they do is destroy Rita and Zed's palace and try and kill them, but they escape. And then in the end, Rita and Zed end up killing the ruling family of the Machine Empire. So they're enemies in the show. So I didn't know if Rita is actually working for the Machine Empire or if she's like in disguise also hiding out and being, you know, subterfuge. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this for too long, Pat. You should all go watch it. It's amusing and then it's forgettable.
Right.
That's my take.
You know what
I already forgot about it.
I mean, James Vanderbeek. That's really the draw here, kids. Go sit down, watch James Vanderbeek pretend to be a Power Ranger and think, you know, Power Rangers could have been something real special. Yep. If it had James Vanderbeek in it.
You know, if they did do, you know, when they do this reboot, they actually are doing a reboot movie, big budget movie, in case you haven't heard us talking about that. If they cast him in the movie as anybody, I'd be okay with that. He played a good Rocky. Well, no, he didn't. He played a good character.
Did. He played a good character. The fact that he was Rocky was very inconsequential.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what I did like about the movie, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. I liked the small, subtle details that didn't really have explanations per se. You know, like Rocky had a crazy robot leg.
Yeah. See, like those kinds of things I think are cool in a 15-minute fan-ish video.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
fan-ish, I like that.
Whereas I would, you know, if they just kind of did that in a full-length movie, I'd be wondering what the hell's going on. But
right, you want that explanation in the full length. But when you're just, you know, you're watching this little snippet of a movie, you're like, "Yeah, you know, I'm okay with this." So go ahead, let him have this one.
All right.
So, all right, let's move on, moving on right along.
So, I want to talk about Ghostbusters. First off, no, I don't.
Do you?
I want you to talk about Ghostbusters. First off, though, I think we should all have a good laugh because Dan Aykroyd still believes that a traditional Ghostbusters 3 sequel could happen in universe with the first two movies because he's still got that concept from I don't know how many years ago at this point, and they've got a new draft. They're on like draft 3 or something, and he's thinking if this reboot gets really popular, what the studios are going to want to do is not make another one of those, but going back to the, you know, deboot and go back to the originals and make one of them.
He's actually hoping for. I think he's hoping that this is going to be such a travesty that the studio will beg him to make a good Ghostbusters movie. And then he'll say, okay.
I think honestly, he
stands a chance.
I don't think so. I think Ghostbusters will be dead. If this movie flops, Ghostbusters is dead. If this movie does well, he's got a chance at his story being created in some other medium.
I think,
because Ghostbusters could come back.
Well, here's my favorite thing about Ghostbusters, this new Ghostbusters, is that you keep hearing things like, it's like Bridesmaids meets Night at the Museum meets The Walking Dead. But you know what it never meets? Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Never meets Ghostbusters. So let's get into this latest bit of news that I just casually revealed there.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Paul Feig, he has said that he has drawn inspiration from The Walking Dead. That is his new found source of inspiration for this Ghostbusters movie travesty, whatever you want to call it, that we are going to have to bear witness to. I guess you don't have to. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try not to, but you know how it is. So basically, he is going to. You know, from what we've heard, he's very contradictory, because he has said that how does this go on in the past? Obviously, it's a comedy, so it's a joke book. So the cast of characters that he has assembled are. Nothing short of bad at acting. Not really. You know, I don't want to be too down on these girls because it's not their fault that they got drafted into this shit show.
Yeah. I actually think
it's their fault that they said yes.
Yeah.
But
I don't know much about Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones because I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in a while, but Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig are very good actresses.
They're okay when they're directed properly. Right. And I would say, though, they were not directed exceedingly properly in Bridesmaids. And I know I'm kind of in the minority on this because a lot of people think Bridesmaids is the funniest thing to ever happen. But especially Melinda McCartney. Melissa McCarthy's character is just, it's too over the top.
And you know, see, that's the thing
for
is
my liking.
I have seen Melissa McCarthy do good things.
Right.
But
right.
Ever
I've
since,
seen her act correctly.
Yeah. Ever since she got out of Gilmore Girls, it's not, she's been typecast as this, you know, bombastic, she's the heavyweight comedy girl.
Right.
You know, it's she's the
she can't rise above that.
Yeah, she's stuck there. And you know that's what she's going to be in this movie also. And that's why I don't have high hopes for her.
And that, you know,
I
like
just
that,
assume Kristen Wiig is going to be Kristen Wiig because she's always.
Well, here's how I assume, because I there's so many things that I don't like about this movie. I assume they're just going to give all of the attributes that I hate. So Kristen Wiig will just be playing her person from the Target character, one of my least favorite SNL characters of all time. So are you familiar with the character, Brian?
Yes, I am.
So she's just gonna be like, let's go get some ghosts. They're on fire. And so she's gonna be doing that. And then there's going, I can you mark my words. You mark my words that there is going to be a scene with Leslie Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Is that her name? There will be a scene with Leslie Jones where a ghost tries to scare her and she will yell at it. She will yell at it and in turn scare the ghost with her yelling. She will tell the ghost that you do not do that to her.
Here's you know, in the original cast, each of the characters served a different, they were a different facet, you know? And I'm not sure which facets these actresses will take, but I'm pretty sure that we know that the black one will just be the black one. Because that's, you got it, it's well, like something, and then black.
The beautiful thing about Winston was that he was never the black one. Except for in the media's treatment of him. Sadly.
Yeah, that's really what I mean.
But it, you know, he in the movie, he was us. He was the guy who didn't know what the fuck was going on, and that they had to explain things to simply. So it progressed the story well enough where you're like, oh man, I can't believe they're telling us how this works right now. That's so dumb. And instead, it was like, okay, this side. That Twinkie would be how big? That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, because the rest of the guys were scientists or didn't care. You know, if you were Pete Venkman, you were like, yeah, whatever. Sure. You know, and the other guys actually knew what was going on. They were intelligent scientists. And then there was Winston, who, again, was not unintelligent, but he was just the everyman. So that's how it always worked. Ray is the heart, you know, he is the ever believer, you know, always the childlike wonder, you know, that's Ray. Egon was the base. He was going to look more for the scientific explanation of things. You know, he knew that there were ghosts. He found them, you know, he figured it out, but he grounded them in reality. You know, as much as one could in a movie like Ghostbusters. Pete Venkman was obviously the mouth, you know, the comedy, really, you know, and that's the bottom line here for me. That's what I keep trying to tell people about this. I'm not telling you that an all female Ghostbuster cast can't be funny. I am telling you that Bill Murray was why Ghostbusters was funny, not Ghostbusters. Like, the act of guys hunting ghosts is not funny.
Yeah, I didn't laugh very much at the cartoon.
That's true. It's not very funny. But the act of Bill Murray fighting ghosts is hilarious. You know? So that's what I'm saying here, is that this quote-unquote franchise is built on nothing. You were bringing with none of the good qualities of the thing you're trying to do. Because the only thing that was really good about the movies was Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson.
Well, hopefully.
And Annie Potts.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. And?
And Slimer.
Okay. Hopefully.
And John Candy.
Oh, my God.
I don't think he was in it.
I was just going to say, hopefully, all of these people will have an amazing chemistry together that we could not have imagined, and they will build the foundation for a new franchise. But let's run back a bit and talk about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because that's why we're here.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We got off track.
We certainly did.
So Paul Feige said that he is drawing inspiration from The Walking Dead. So he not only is making a movie that he thinks is going to be funny somehow, but he wants it to be grounded and real. And he wants it to have the same level of suspense and terror that The Walking Dead has. But he also wants it to be a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this, if you will. Go on a journey with me. So imagine it's The Walking Dead. And it's a Lady Daryl walks on screen and says, welcome to Target. Right. Zombie.
I'm with you so far.
And then a Lady Rick Grimes comes up and just farts. And that's the movie, guys. That's the movie. And then Ben Stiller runs in with Attila the Hun.
Hmm. Okay.
Except for it's a Lady Ben Stiller now.
Who's the Lady Ben Stiller?
Janine Garofalo. Oh.
Well done. So what you're saying is, you don't have high hopes for this thing.
I have zero hopes for this, which is actually a decent way to go into a movie and be surprised. So right now, they're in a good position with me because they would have to fuck up really, really, really hard to get worse than my expectations.
Is this movie got zombies in it?
It depends on...
That may be the worst grammar I've used on this show, by the way.
It depends on your definition of zombies and exactly their definition of ghosts. So, because it seems like they don't have a really good grasp on what any of that means. So,
right. So if this, because I do recall something about things being raised from the dead.
Right.
So if this,
and again, like it, because it doesn't seem necessarily that ghosts. Well, I think they flat out said ghosts don't exist in this universe. So apparently when you die, it's the very, you know, solid atheist view. When you die, you're dead, you're gone. There's nothing after in the afterlife. But then magic lightning, which is okay. Life after death, not so much. Magic lightning, okay. Strikes a prison in which... why can I never remember his name?
Danny DeVito.
Tyrion Lannister. Tyrion, about the same height.
Tyrion Lannister.
What's the guy's real name?
That is Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'll punch you.
That is, it's on the tip of my tongue here.
Me Pat. Too. Come on.
That's,
come on.
You're Googling it too, right?
I am, yeah. Okay.
This is really bad. This is bad podcasting right here.
It is. I found some Peter Dinklage. Whew, thank God.
Yeah. All right.
Well, now Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage is, the guy that they said in their emails that they would like to play the main villain. So he's supposed to get struck by magic lightning, and then he has the power to raise other people from the dead.
So wouldn't that imply that there is an afterlife? Because you have to pull the, you have to pull them back from somewhere.
Well, right? Maybe, but I don't know. I assume that he just kind of goes into the, where these famous people are buried and pulls their life force out that didn't exist before until he made it exist. I really don't know.
I think you're confused as to how afterlife mechanics work. But I think what this hinges on is, do the bodies come with them? If the bodies come with them, then the movie then should be zombie busters.
Right.
Otherwise, it's Ghostbusters. So we'll find out probably when a trailer comes out, probably like a year from now. So, Pat, speaking of things that are coming out less than a year from now, Age of Ultron poster, new poster from the MarvelTwitter.com or whatever.
Marvel Twitter.
This is a character poster.
Caricature.
It shows...
they'll have big heads and weird teeth.
It's a character. Care-actor. A poster showing all the main good guys and a lot of the bad guys, because they're all flying around in the background, plus a very subtle Vision right in the center of the background there. And then down on the bottom, this is why this is important. It's first off, it's a cool looking thing, but second, here's why it's important. Down in the bottom, it lists all the actors who are in the movie. And in that list includes the people who play the Falcon, Peggy Carter, and Heimdall. So looks like we're going to have some of those supporting characters from other movies in this movie as well. There's a lot of people in this movie.
As it should be. Because honestly, like every time you meet a superhero in the comics and they're like, hey, you should hang out with us sometime. They're there like every other time.
Mm-hmm.
They may not make the little corner with the heads telling you who is in the book.
I miss those.
I miss those too. But now we can put our pictures in the corner of our website. show you who's on the podcast.
It's a pretty good idea.
I got to do like face on or head on versions of them.
Face off.
Face off. Anyway, point is what? What's my point, Brian? What's the point of all this?
You were just making the quick point that when characters are introduced, they tend to be around every so often.
Right, right. So if you're having a big deal like this, of course they should be involved.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that, especially Falcon, because I really liked his character in Captain America.
Yeah.
I hope to see lots more of him.
Now, interestingly enough, Heimdall and the Falcon are black. Mm-hmm. Peggy Carter, female, British, of the British race. Not featured on the poster. This is a poster that features only Nick Fury as the non-person of color. Let's assume Hulk is white for the sake of this. Because Ruffalo
is white. He is green.
Yeah. All right. Fine. He's green. And two females and everybody else is a white guy. So this leads me into an issue that Marvel has that is not new. This is not a thing that people are just realizing it. People have commented on this for a while, but there's not a lot of women and especially not a lot of people of color in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is why the
problem is that there's not a lot of source material to go on.
This is true. And that is the defense that they give. And it's not invalid.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they can't do something to try and correct that,
true.
Which is why, we've heard this rumor now from Jeff Snyder at The Wrap, who is apparently close to sources. As
he's apparently close to no one.
As you do, I don't know.
I still find this to be highly suspect, but go ahead.
95% sure, he says, that Spider-Man will be black, but also he could be Latino. 95% sure, though, not white. And also 95% sure, in the same vein, that he will not be Peter Parker. And he calls the reports that the two guys that they're looking at to play Peter Parker, that's preposterous. So Will Peter Parker be Miles Morales? Not Peter Parker, I'm sorry. Will Spider-Man be Miles Morales or a different character of color? Hopefully they would just go with Miles. I would assume that would be the obvious way to go, as opposed to just creating a new black or Latino Spider-Man.
I really hope they don't go that route.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I find this to be a misstep. I don't like the idea, and it's not... Let me finish my thought.
Yes, please. Because I know you're going to get to the it's not racist part.
Right, right. So I'm
which is always a great way to start your argument.
Listen, I'm going to let you finish, but... the point is that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Miles Morales is a different Spider-Man. Like, you know, he is Spider-Man light, or I guess dark.
We're going to get so many letters.
There's only 26. The fact is that nobody wants, in a big crossover event like this, nobody wants the first time Spider-Man joins the Marvel Universe it to be anybody but Peter Parker. You know, that said, the next time I have to sit through a Spider-Man movie, it would be nice if it was a new kind of story. The story of Miles Morales.
Let me ask you this, Pat. What if all of these rumors are simultaneously true?
Mm-hmm.
Because what if they are looking to cast a Peter Parker for this movie, and Peter Parker will be in the movie, but he will not be Spider-Man or not Spider-Man for very long? What if they do the passing of the torch in the Civil War movie? Like, what if both of these rumors are true and this Jeff Snyder guy just, you know, he's told that Spider-Man is going to be this black guy, and he doesn't realize that they're also casting a Peter Parker for the movie. How would you feel about that?
I would be okay with it, but the problem is that this is a Captain America movie.
You think there's going to be too much going on? That was going to be my response. Yeah.
Right. This is not a Civil War movie. This is Captain America : Civil War. You know, this is Cap's movie. And if we try to jam Spider-Man's introduction and passing of the torch into that movie, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, once again, I will go back to my original statement and say, I really feel like Peter Parker should be introduced here. He is established as a crime fighter that's been around for a good while, you know, because we know his story. We understand that he got bit by a radioactive spider when he was younger. We don't necessarily need that again.
I think that's the biggest reason they should do that, because I am very worried that Civil War is already going to be a too complicated of a movie, because it's going to have Black Panther in it too.
Yeah.
We
also don't know what capacity Black Panther was going to play. It might just be like he's standing there next to them. He's like, yes, I too am a superhero, and my name is Black Panther.
Like you were getting at, if Peter Parker is in this movie, you don't have to say a single thing about his origin. Everybody knows. If you put Miles Morales in it from the very beginning, you have to explain him.
Yep.
You know, because the general...
full explanation. Yeah, I mean... Not even the general populace. I don't know why he's able to be Spider-Man. Was he bit by Spider-Man? Was he bit by a radioactive Spider-Man? That would mean
Spider-Man? He would be Spider-Man, man.
Well, right. And he does whatever a Spider-Man can.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Which makes sense, sure.
They would have to, I mean, for both the sake of the general public, just explaining, hey, why isn't Peter Parker here? But also explaining in-universe, you have to explain where this guy came from.
Right.
You know, you have to explain his powers. Is he the same as Peter Parker, Spider-Man? Does he have the same powers? Is he like Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man, which I suppose is another option they could go. If they don't want to use Miles, they could go Miguel O'Hara, who's Hispanic and I presume also Irish. I don't know.
On his mother's side.
He's got completely different powers than Spider-Man. And you would have to explain that. You know, you can't just introduce a new character like this without explaining about them, and that's going to take up time in the movie, and that's going to take away from Civil War. And I really do think that since Peter Parker in the comics was such a pivotal character in Civil War, and that Civil War also basically ruined his life,
right,
until he made a deal with the devil, which we're not going to talk about
further.
Well, it didn't,
which ruined my life.
Yeah, exactly. That didn't ruin his life. That ruined his character. But I really do feel that they could really tell a fantastic story with Peter Parker and Miles in the same movie.
Right, but even then, there's way too much explanation. Why is Miles in existence? Why is Miles... Because Miles has to be emulating Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are there two Spider-Men? Why, you know, there's so many questions that they're going to have to jimmy into this movie if both the characters exist.
Yeah.
And if it's just Miles, like I said, then you're wasting... You're blowing your load.
Yeah.
You're wasting your opportunity of having Spider-Man join the MCU, because he is not Spider-Man. He's Miles Morales Spider-Man. There's nobody who says Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Everybody who's talking about Miles says, you know, Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not who the character is. And yeah. So shoehorning him in like that is dirty pool.
My personal feeling is I personally would not have a problem watching a movie with only Miles Morales in it, the Civil War movie with no other Spider-Man but Miles Morales. I'm okay with that.
Even if it meant that ruins all of your chances, because it does, ruins all of your chances of having a Peter Parker Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in any capacity that he should be.
Yes, he's been in 5 movies. I'm okay with that being the end of it. Man. Me personally. I think it's a bad, I think it would be a bad choice for Marvel to do that though.
I just think that, you know, again, here's my thing. Here's what I always come back to. Like when they say things like, oh yeah, we're totally going to have the rapper Common be Jon Stewart, Green Lantern. It's like, before you start working on fucking me over and doing some stupid shit that, you know, is interesting, you know, give me one clear vision of my characters. One, okay? Give it to me once. Say, hey, we did the best job we could have done, and we presented the character as well as we could. Here it is. That didn't work out. We're going to keep going with other visions. You know, it would be like if Man of Steel was Electric Blue Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just like, you know, everybody knows who Spider-Man, Superman.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, everybody knows Superman. But Electric Blue Superman? Who's going to expect that?
Well, you know,
it's a very similar principle. Or even better, what if Man of Steel was entirely the Eradicator?
As if it was, because there had been 5 Superman movies ahead of that.
There are plenty of Superman movies ahead of that.
Yeah. If it had been a good story, I'd been okay with it. If they put... Because that, like I said, my worry is there's going to be too much going on in this movie.
Oh, there's almost certainly going to be too much going on.
I would be very happy. Let me amend my previous statement. I'd be very happy if Miles being the only Spider-Man in Civil War, assuming they managed to pull off everything that would need to be in that movie to facilitate it and it not being a complete mess. So it would have to still be a good movie. You know, I would not be happy if it was like, yeah, he's there. And it's very clear that we just wrote some scenes in for him because we weren't ready, you know, to have the rights to him. And, you know, if they just shoehorn him in, I'm not going to be happy with it. But if it's good, I'm going to be great with it. If Man of Steel was the best movie ever and it was about the Eradicator, I'd have been happy with it.
Yeah, but you like that storyline anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like things that are good.
Well,
and also I like Power Rangers.
And Power Rangers. I'm glad you stipulated that. And again, I am much more for one, so, 'cause see, I could live the rest of my life with just the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. It would be great if they went back and touched up the special effects. That, use today's special effects on yesterday's movie and really just knock it out of the park. I am totally good with that. But like a character like Batman, he has never been 100% portrayed the way I wanted him portrayed. Something that was really, really, really true to the character from beginning to end. They were on the right track with Christopher Nolan's stuff, and then they dropped the ball. This one visually, he looks the part. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the
And
rest.
I also think that it is, this one is a pretty unique case because I feel like the last two origin stories of Spider-Man movies were pretty good. I enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man and I enjoyed Spider-Man's 1 and 2. So I know the character has had a good run in the movies. And
And right.
while I
So
wouldn't, I would definitely, I'm not saying I don't want to ever see him with the Avengers because I would love that. I'm just saying if they want to go this route, I'm not going to be disappointed because I've got my Spider-Man movies.
I will be disappointed because I don't have my new Avengers movie.
That is true.
And that's my problem here. I love the idea of Miles Morales. I love the idea of diversifying, and they did it right with Miles. They didn't just walk in and say, "Guess what? Peter Parker's black."
Yeah.
They made a character. They made a character that people could get behind and care about, and that's the way to do it. And I want him to have his chance. I want him to be in the movies. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, let
But
me.
I don't want him in the movies at the cost of not having Peter Parker where he should be in the universe.
Let me. I'm going to talk very briefly because we're running over on time here. About I was reading some articles. There's no real one article to point to in specific, but articles in general about when comics try and change like the race of a character or the gender of a character. And there's backlash about that. And I just wanted to kind of make clear to me the situations that I'm okay with and the situations that I'm not okay with. When I feel like they're doing it right and when they're doing it wrong. Miles Morales, I feel like they did it right. They were like, Peter Parker is this guy. Miles is this guy. He has a unique and interesting backstory, and he is a unique character.
And they both exist.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well,
For the most part.
yeah, he kind of exists because Peter died in that universe. But
Well,
aside from
but
that,
he's still, you could still find a Spider-Man story
right.
that featured Peter Parker
And
or Miles Morales.
along the same vein, I feel like they did a good job when they introduced Jon Stewart back in the day because Hal Jordan was still around. Like that's another kind
Well,
of thing that I.
to be honest with you though, I don't know if you actually read those books back in the day. But Jon Stewart really only became interesting when the cartoon happened. He was actually pretty one note,
Well,
especially when he was first brought aboard. He was exceedingly racistly put together.
yeah, and that's really a
Saying
sign of the
things
times.
like "Sweet Christmas" and
You will note that I did not go on a speech about how wonderful his character was. But
but they did it right.
yeah.
They did it right.
And to a similar extent, and I know you may disagree with me on this one, but the new Thor being female, I think it was a good move because she's actually a good character, a well-written character, and she is not Thor. Like she's not, it's not like it's the same guy just became a female. It is a different character
And
who
I
just
actually
has
do
the same
agree.
powers. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm with. I mean, I wasn't reading Thor right now anyway, because I don't really read anything right now. But I still think that that's a fine move because again, Thor still exists. She is just the Thor. She is who is worthy to wield Mjolnir, right?
Now I'll give you an example of when I don't like it. The DC Universe reboots and now Wally West is black.
Yep.
I don't care for that kind of thing because I don't understand a universe where Barry Allen goes back in time and now suddenly Flash's bloodline is from Africa.
Right.
You know, Wally West, blah, blah. Like that kind of thing. I know at that point that you're going, we need more black characters. Who can we make black? You know, and then it's just like false. It's mm-hmm. You're trying to solve the problem of adding more diversity to your roster, which is admirable, but you're doing it in the laziest way.
Yeah.
And if they had just made a new, make a new character and make him the Flash.
Exactly. New speedster who is black and maybe, you know, it's easy enough to find a bloodline, you know, that, you know, in the Alan West, because Barry and Alan are related, right? We find that out later.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still are.
You know, there's time travel. You know, I actually don't know how it works in the new 52, but
you know, there was definitely something to be said about them being family. You know, there was some kind of family element that bonded them and made them speedsters. So it's easy enough to say, hey, well, actually, you know, my great-great-grandfather was black. You know, and, you know, there's just, you know, a ton more Irish in my bloodline. So I'm a red haired white kid, which I am not. But, you know, Wally usually was blonde. Well, Wally had red hair, didn't he?
He was usually depicted with red hair. Yeah.
So anyway, adding diversity. Great. Adding diversity using laziness, bad. When it disrupts a character, bad. You know, like we said, this is for no reason. There's nothing about Wally West's character that was like, you know, it's true. He would have benefited if he was actually an inner city minority.
You know, I did read a couple of things, mostly on Twitter and I think some other places, but Gail Simone had an interesting conversation with a comic book store owner on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about one of her books in specific, but the trend in general of having more female-led books.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be carrying these because, you know, I and my customers are getting tired of all this activism in our comics.
Mm.
And she... You know, she pretty much lost it on Twitter. And
good.
I don't blame her because that's, you know, I know that's a real sentiment and it bothers me that that's a real sentiment that's out there that the, you know, all of these books for decades and decades, more than we've been alive by like three times, have been about white men primarily. Yep. And now we're finally like it's inching closer, ever so closer to equality. Mm-hmm. And they see it as activism.
Right.
You know,
right. It is very disturbing. And you know what? I've had a lot of issues since my daughter was born.
It gives you a new perspective, doesn't it?
I do. I have a very, very big shift. I'll tell you one in particular that happened a couple of weeks ago. J. Scott Campbell. Are you familiar with the artist, J. Scott Campbell?
I am.
I love his artwork. Great artist. He is really known for his cheesecake stuff, though. You know, the good girl art or the bad girl art, depending upon who and how he was depicting.
Depending on the girl.
And I saw this this post online of you know, basically J. Scott Campbell draws the Disney princesses. And at first I was really excited. I was like, oh man, I you know, I really love his line work. He always draws, you know, female characters very elegantly, I thought. You know, they're always very elongated. And then I started to look at them and I realized that they're just ridiculously over-sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
Like to an extreme that I never realized before.
I'm just looking at some of them because I had I remembered seeing that. And I think the thing that struck me the most about this when I first saw these is that Ariel's fish parts start below her vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also my favorite is I believe the Sleeping Beauty, who is wearing very little to bed. For some reason, Beauty from Beauty and the Beast is wearing a teddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, these are the things that would have, like, I would have gone out of my way to collect these prints 10 years ago, you know, thinking that they were just, and again, I have no problem with this kind of art per se.
No, it's
in the right place.
Not saying it shouldn't exist. Art.
Exactly.
Everyone can appreciate art, but exactly. You have to understand the social implication of, you know, widely accepting this kind of,
right.
You know,
and again, like I said, in the right place, it's wonderful. The art is still beautiful. He still draws very well. But especially seeing characters that my daughter likes, you know, that my daughter emulates in this way, in this over-sexualized, objectified way, really bothers me now. And it's just like, wow, I really fucking hope my daughter never sees these. You know, and then I read an article. I wish I had saved it. I post a link, but I'll see if I can find it. I read an article about a dad who took his kids to the comic book store after they watched some cartoons, and the kids were very insistent. They really wanted to go to a comic book store. And so he took them, and his 5-year-old boy did, you know, great. He loved everything. He was just running around grabbing as many books as he could carry. And his daughter was just kind of standing around looking at the books. And she asked him, where were the real comic books? And he's like, well, I mean, these are the real comic books, honey. She's like, well, I mean, I don't think so. Why isn't Starfire wearing any clothes?
Hmm.
You know, why, you know, I don't understand. Harley Quinn has a black and red suit with a funny hat. Why is she in a teddy with a tutu?
Yeah.
You know? And this was a legitimate question that his daughter brought up to him that I can foresee my having to have the conversation with my daughter.
Yeah, and you know the answer.
And I do.
You know the answer to the question.
I know the answer, and I am ashamed of the answer because the answer, I am the answer. You know, and it's like, you know, I, especially in my youth, I mean, I bought a lot of comic books based on the over-sexualization of the female on the cover. You know, I have like a collection of Vampirella books that I don't think I've ever even read.
Do they even have words?
I don't know. But you know, this is what I have to, I really have to deal with. And that, and again, I'm not saying that these things shouldn't exist. I just want there to be another option for me to say, well, honey, these are for some people, but these are for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's really not much out there.
And that's why, you know, these books about females and books about minorities and stuff, you know, I wish I could remember someone else on Twitter. One of the writers was talking about the inclusion of Miles Morales, the possible inclusion of him in the movies. And he was saying, you know, that's the beauty of something like Spider-Man, because yes, you know, sure, Peter Parker is white. And the fact that he is white doesn't doesn't really factor into his character. That's not a character trait of his.
Right.
So if you were to make him black, it shouldn't affect his character anything. But beside that point, what Marvel really wants to portray, or what they should want to portray, what anyone should want to portray, is that when you look at Spider-Man, regardless of what color you are, you should feel like you could be Spider-Man.
Right.
That's, well, that's what he was
doing. There was a great Todd McFarlane issue where some kid like says something to Spider-Man about, you know, about that. And Spider-Man says to him, you don't know who I am under here. You don't know what color my skin is, you know? And it was great. Mm-hmm. It was like, you don't
remember that one.
And,
yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if they made a movie where Spider-Man never took off his costume, if he's always Spider-Man in there, bring in Donald Glover. Because it doesn't matter. Yeah. That is the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, once you take it off and he's not the way you think he should be, then everybody's upset.
The
if it's a girl,
Gail Simone.
I'm gonna be honest with you. If Emma Stone played Spider-Gwen, I'd be into it.
Well, yeah, of course, she's a fantastic actress. Gail Simone, the guy that she was talking, like, she talked to the guy in person at a convention, then she tweeted about it, and then he, like on his website or whatever, responded and said that, you know, even he's even got female customers who come in and say there's too many female-led books. And she said, I am calling bullshit on that. I find it hard to believe that you have a non-trivial amount of female customers coming in complaining about too many female-led books. And he said, I had one just the other day who looked at a Ms. Marvel comic and said, trying to fill a quota, huh? And that was like the end of the story. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she said that because she's Muslim and not because she's female.
That's true. Because
usually when you're referring to quotas, you're not referring to gender. That's usually implying race. So
now, I that kind of
that reframes that comment a little bit there. But
right. But that guy took it as however he wanted to take it.
Right.
But I have not read that book. But one of my good friends, Nicole, she's just started off in comic books. She started off because she's kind of obsessed with The Walking Dead. Now she's all over the place in comics. And one of her very favorite books is that Ms. Marvel book. Mm-hmm. And I've heard nothing but amazing things about that book. So you know, stick it in your ear, because how many issues of shitty DC male-driven comics are total crap right now? And then this Ms. Marvel book, it set some kind of crazy record or tied a crazy record with reprints for the first issue, I think. But nobody talked about it. Yeah. I don't know why.
Sixth printing, I believe.
Sixth printings. That's crazy. You don't see that kind of thing these days.
Yeah.
So the fact that it just keeps selling means it's really awesome.
Yep.
So
let's talk about something that's slightly related so that we can keep this train wreck moving here.
Yeah.
We got our first image of Aquaman. And as you know, they've recast Aquaman's hair as black in this movie, and that's a little bit harassed, I think. But anyway, no, all jokes aside. Zack Snyder tweeted out this picture of Jason Momoa, best known as Ronan on Stargate Atlantis, and I think maybe he was on Game of Thrones, I don't know.
He was also Conan.
He was Conan.
He was Conan, guys. He's already played a comic book character poorly.
That would require you to know that you would have to have heard of that movie, and no one has heard of it, so... So he's in this costume. I got to admit.
Well, I mean, is it a costume?
It's
I'm actually pretty sure Aquamomoa here wears this on a regular daily basis.
I do sometimes get the feeling that he might actually do that, but I also think that maybe I'm just imagining that he is his characters in real life. But his costume, and it's kind of hard to tell, but his costume appears to be like some armor on his right arm and shoulder, like a left arm gauntlet, some pants, and some chest straps, and then a bunch of tattoos is what it kind of looks like.
I'm pretty positive you're right there. I'm looking at the picture right now. First of all, there are so many opportunities here. You know, if he had had a hook hand, I could have gotten behind this outfit a little bit better, because it's very much similar to Hook Hand Aquaman.
I actually think...
The beard, the one arm armor, you know.
Hook hand Aquaman.
Hook hand Aquaman.
Hook hand Aquaman. I would be behind this 100%. Because here's where I'm at with this. If I was taking this as a standalone thing, I would be like, well, that's not really the Aquaman that I would like to see. Mm-hmm. He looks very serious. You know, he's been Zack Snyder'd, and I'm not a fan of that. But this guy has to fit into a continuity with the already Zack Snyder'd Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And I feel like if they had put him in a costume that I would approve of, he would right. look very stupid with those other Zack Snyder characters.
He wouldn't fit in with the rest of the characters.
So my best critique that I can give of this is that he has done a good job of keeping with the theme.
Yeah.
Of
kind of ruining it a little. Right. I'm not a big fan of the tattoos. I never thought of Aquaman. Like, how does he even get those underwater?
I don't know.
Sharks everywhere.
It's like
getting a tattoo is a bloody thing.
You go to your local squid and he injects the ink.
You get the ink. And I mean, really, his pants couldn't have been like forest green. You know, we couldn't have gotten any green on this character.
You never know. Like, it's entirely
that's
possible.
That's another thing.
It's entirely possible that all of their costumes are actually very brightly colored. It's just that he can't film a movie with bright color. Like, I don't think his cameras can pick up color is the thing. I think they're broken.
It's they're all in black and white, and they only have time to do a faint coloring on top of them.
Yeah, they're doing all the color in post is the problem. They don't have a lot of time.
So here's another thing. Like, I actually saw a Photoshop of this, which helped immensely. If his armor was bronzed instead of like tarnished-y black, that would have given us the kind of orange effect.
Yeah, it's pretty clear
that his pants were green-ish, even just a little. You know, then at least I could have been like, oh, you know, because let's put it this way. If somebody had tweeted this picture out, no Unite the Seven, not Zack Snyder tweeting it out, and you didn't know that this guy was supposed to be playing Aquaman, you would have never fucking guessed that this was a picture of Aquaman.
Right. You're exactly right.
There is nothing. And you know, like people are, just to equate this, people are really bitching about those reaction figures because the likeness just isn't there. You know, and they say things like, you know, in 20 years, if it's loose, you're going to pick that up. You're like, what the fuck is this? You're not going to realize that that's supposed to be Marty from Back to the Future. Well, that's what I say about this guy. If you saw a still of this guy and you're just gonna be like, what is he holding? Why does he have a pitchfork?
Yeah. I was just going to comment on that. Aquaman and sea-based characters tend to have a trident. Mm-hmm. And tridents, by their very nature, have three prongs.
Three.
So this, I was going to call it like a quintrent, but it's a pitchfork is the better. Like he looks like he's going to bale some underwater hay.
Yeah, he's just got a fork. It's a fork.
If you told me,
he also again, he does not look very regal. You know, that was always one of the things that I gave Goofy Aquaman. You know, because he was the king, he could be eccentric. You know, it's okay because he's a king. He's like, well, I'm the king of Atlantis.
Yeah, my favorite version of Aquaman, I'll be honest with you, is Brave and the Bold, the cartoon.
Yes. Yes. So
that's a really that's a great way to.
Outrageous.
Yeah, that's a really great way to take a character that's kind of goofy by nature and make it so that his goofiness is an asset.
Right.
And not make it not seem so goofy. If someone showed me this picture, okay, and. I did not know that Jason Momoa was going to be Aquaman and, you know, Unite the Seven, blah, blah. If you just showed me this picture in isolation, I'd be like, wow, that's a pretty badass looking costume. But like you said, I would not look at that and go, well, that's Aquaman.
Right.
You know, but
nothing about this says Aquaman.
I would like to see a movie with this character in it. I think it could be a kick-ass movie.
Sure. I'm just not quite sure that it could be an Aquaman movie. He could appear in Game of Thrones in the same outfit. And there would be no harm, no foul. Yeah. Nobody would think twice about it. They'd just be like, oh, there's good old ass face. Go kill it.
It's pretty clear that, you know, the parts of his armor that you said would look better if they were bronze or gold or yellow or whatever. It seems like they by the faint yellow sheen on them, like maybe right. 20 years ago he did look like right. Aquaman.
right.
And he's just not polished it up lately.
Yeah, it's very tarnished. It's you know, whatever. Yeah.
And I think the blonde streaks in his hair are meant to evoke the blonde hair of Aquaman, yeah. But it doesn't do a very good job of it.
Well, and again though, I mean if you're comparing this to Super Friends Aquaman, there's nothing.
Yeah, right.
If you're comparing this to Beard Hookhand Aquaman, he's not that far off.
No.
He's not that far off.
I think
he is far enough off where you still say, what the fuck? But, you know,
overall, I feel like since I'm not a big fan of Aquaman in general,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the only way to do him in the movies would either be to not have him or to have him somewhat like this, where he's just way more badass than he is in any other incarnation.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the only way you can really do it. You just don't go too far with it. Don't go too far with his character.
Here's the other thing about this reveal. Unite the Seven.
Yes.
Now I saw a bunch of idiots online who were like, is it the Seven Seas? Is he uniting the Seven Seas? Oh, he's Aquaman. God. And I was like, you shut up. I hate you.
Obviously, there's traditionally there are seven founding members of the Justice League.
Right. But now who do we know? Because we obviously have Superman, mm-hmm. Batman, uh-huh. Wonder Woman,
Cyborg.
Cyborg.
Okay.
So there's five. They've cast the Flash.
Uh-huh.
That's six.
Yep. So Green Lantern?
If it's not Green Lantern, I'm going to be real pissed.
He's not supposed to be around in any capacity until much later in this.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's not going to be him.
But that makes me really mad. Really mad. Because there has never been a story about the uniting of the Justice League that the Green Lantern wasn't on it.
Yep. Let me go over to our movies page real quick.
StructureGibberish.com/movies. It's and see, Christmas 2017? Or no, 2020 even, maybe.
Yeah, and The Flash is 2018, right after Justice League. Just 6 months after Justice League Part 1.
But I mean, again, that doesn't mean that these characters can't be introduced now. It's just before they get their own solo goings on.
Right. So Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice is almost a little over a year from now. I guess technically there's still time they could cram in a Green Lantern reveal. But other than that, their next opportunity is Wonder Woman. And isn't Wonder Woman happening in the past?
I think so.
I don't remember. So well, after that, there's nothing else.
The thing is that if this Unite the Seven bullshit is going on now, you know, if this is they worked up this graphic for actual promotion of this movie, then Green Lantern and Flash have to be revealed in this movie as characters.
Did they, or was Zack Snyder just playing with Photoshop?
Did
they,
or did he have Photoshop? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because of the very bizarre nature of this image that we have been led to believe this is going to be little more than a cameo. You know, Aquaman should just be like, hey, you stay out of the water. You know,
now,
you just eat, you're gonna get a cramp.
Up until the Justice League was rebooted in what year was that, like 2007 or 8?
I think I know where you're going with this, but keep going.
Up until that time, there had never been an incarnation of the Justice League without Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, Martian Manhunter. So
you think Martian Manhunter will be replacing Green Lantern?
Well, no. See, Batman is replacing Green Lantern, and Superman is replacing Green Arrow.
Ah, and Cyborg is replacing
Cyborg is Plastic replacing Man, the Atom.
And Plastic Man is replacing Wildcat. And Wildcat is replacing Hawkman.
Get out of here.
And Hawkman is replacing Kevin Bacon. So, all right, we're good.
It's like Kevin Bacon. This movie is not going to be just like Kevin Bacon.
This movie is going to be 6 hours long, is what we're getting at.
Well, this movie is going to be 6 hours long, and it's going to be depressing and sad the whole time. The whole fucking time.
You're going to need grief counselors on site at the movie theaters.
It's going to be just like American Sniper. Everybody's just going to get up quietly and walk out of the theater. That's just how it's going to go. And some people say it's a great movie, and some people say it's not a great movie. But everybody will just have nothing to say.
Everybody walks out somberly.
I'm leaving it. Yeah. They're just going to have to just be quiet and take it in. People will stand outside and be like, you know, they'll be that guy who's like, so what you think? And just everybody will glare at him and then keep walking silently. It's as if they all had to go through like a really traumatic experience. They all had to like pee in front of each other.
Now they have that shared experience.
Right. They have that They've been through the foxhole together. Nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about. You mark my words. We're going to go opening weekend, and that's how it's going to be. Silence at the end of the movie. Not happiness. Certainly not happiness.
There will be a couple of cars that just drive off the road on the way out. What they should do is stop
There'll
the movie.
There'll be a woman sobbing.
Yeah.
Just in the corner, quietly sobbing.
Rending her clothes. Yep. There will be a lot of gnashing of teeth. Halfway through the movie, they'll have to bring out someone to just assure us that it's going to be okay if we just stay through the rest of the movie.
A clown comes out at intermission, just a sad clown, and he comes out. Comes out and he sadly juggles some severed heads.
Quiet, in complete silence.
In complete silence, except for as he walks out of the room, his shoes begin to squeak. And then the theater gets dark again. We start watching the movie. It's an experience. It's a dark and tragic experience.
Yes, you will be changed.
Yeah, whether you wanted to be or not. Yeah. Like a chainsaw.
You're going to...
After you hug it, you will be changed.
When you come into work the next Monday, people are going to ask you, so how was Batman v Superman?
You'll just slap them across the mouth.
You're going to slap them, and you're just going to walk back out of the room. And that'll be it. You're working from Panera Bread that day. Just crying softly in the corner, eating your bread bowl.
And people will walk up to you and just be like, Batman v Superman. And you'll both quietly nod.
They won't even say it. They'll look you in the eye, and you'll look them in the eye, and you'll know. You'll know.
Words won't be necessary. Yeah. The shared tears in your eyes
of now, you're now living in a post Batman v Superman world, and things will
our
never
children
be the same.
Will grow up in a post Batman v Superman world,
and they'll say, "What was it like? What was it like before Batman v Superman?" And you'll say, "Oh,
we'll look longingly.
The world had so much color back then."
We'll say, "I wish I could remember."
I just remember it seemed warmer. So anyway, maybe we should move on.
Maybe.
So we're going to do some real quick toy news so that all of us can go to bed sometime before tomorrow. 2014 was a fantastic year for Masterpiece Transformers. And 15? It's shaping up to be a good one, too. So we've already had Masterpiece Ultra Magnus right at the very beginning of the year. Star Saber is coming up, which is going to be possibly the greatest Masterpiece toy of them all. Excuse me. I'm not getting choked up. I actually had like a hiccup or something. In terms of just awesome features and stuff. And now we also know that Masterpiece Goldbug. No, I'm sorry, not Goldbug. G2 Bumblebee. Generation 2 Bumblebee is coming. Exhaust is not great, but that's fine. He exists. Masterpiece Trax is the next one that's announced. This is MP25. He's a brand new mold, and he's fantastic. He looks exactly like how he did on the show. His robot mode is looking pretty good. I only have pictures of an unpainted model. His vehicle mode is like an 80s Chevrolet Corvette, as it should be. It seems to have a mode where it is a flying Corvette, which is something he could do. And Trax was always my favorite character from G1. So I'm very happy that, against all odds, this is the next one being made. This was speculated to be him or Ironhide. And Ironhide being the much more popular character, everyone assumed it would have to be him. But it's not. It's Trax. Trax is coming next. And it's also interesting because there's not many. There were no other G1 characters based on that mold. He was a single-use mold. So if they're going to repurpose him for something, and they pretty much have to, they're either going to go back to the Diaclone days like they did with Exhaust and pick up like a make a yellow version of him or something, or they'll make a red version, which was, I don't remember what he was exclusive to, but there was a red version named Road Rage, who I believe was a female character. But so I will not, I guess my point is that whatever they redo him into, I won't have to buy. So I'm going to get
something, huh?
I'm going to get my wonderful blue Corvette with the flaming Phoenix on the hood. And I'm going to be very happy about it. So that's my little trip down awesome lane there. Last thing we're going to talk about, I promise. Something I'm very excited about that some of you will not be excited about, but my children will be excited about it because I will make them be. Imagine X Mighty Morphin Power Rangers line.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, Pat and I have talked many times. Obviously, you know, Pat loves the Imagine X line.
They're really awesome. If you haven't bought one, just go get one. One.
They're doing a really good job. You know, Imagine X in general is kind of like the unsung hero of preschool age toys because they really are very good. They're really well designed. I mean, just in general, the playability of these figures and play sets is really well done.
Yeah.
They're always simple figures, but they're just the sets that they come up with, the ideas they come up with are always very good.
And the beauty of the line is that it's obviously run by people our age because every other thing that they come out with is an homage to an 80s toy.
Yeah.
You know, they have done some really spectacular nods, including they flat out gave us, what's the name of that vehicle?
We never remember.
Something. I know. It's a Master of the Universe vehicle. It's black and red, and it's like the Rotunda or something.
Rotunda?
yeah. You run the wheels on the ground, and there's a big like blade on the outside of it that spins, and you knock down other characters. They flat out recreated that in a small scale for Imagine Next. Really awesome. It's not the right colors, because then that would be, you know, that's too much. even though Imagine Next and Mattel are the same company, so I really think they could do that, which is why I think they get away with this kind of stuff.
It's called the Rotan.
The Rotan, not the Rotunda.
No, not the Rotunda.
Where the Rotunda? Never thought I'd say tattoos were a bad thing. Anyway, and then the other notable Masters of the Universe set was the Wizard Castle. Not only does the Wizard Castle come with a piece of armor that is exceedingly clearly Skeletor's armor, but when you flip the castle over, the castle is a familiar looking green. When you flip it over to look at the battery pack, they have the sculpted version of the sticker, the dungeon sticker that went on the bottom of your Castle Grayskull. And it's really beautiful and obviously very subtle since it's only visible when you're changing the batteries to the thing. But really just a wonderful homage. And then the other day, Brian and I were at Toys R Us and they had pretty clearly marked out for Jason the Wheel Warriors.
Yeah.
So, and there's so many other things. Like I said,
we saw a set that looks like the Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Yeah, yeah. Right down to the fire pole having the same type of mechanism. And I mean, it was just a firehouse. You know, that's the beauty is that, you know, you could buy that firehouse and make believe that it's the Ghostbusters firehouse and you're going to be doing pretty good for yourself.
And also the their dinosaurs line is basically like a reimagining of Dino Riders.
Yeah, really good. Like I said, I bought them for my nephew. I bought all the superhero ones for my nephew while he was growing up, and now he's too old for them. And my brother gave them all back to me because now my daughter's starting to play with them. Right now she's got a Wonder Woman and a Clayface and a Kilowog, and she runs around the house with her Wonder Woman, her and Wonder Woman Zoom. She likes to just put her fists out like she's flying and go, Zoom! Just run through the whole place. And Wonder Woman's usually hanging out with her, and it's great. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, really, and they're durable toys too.
They are. They're super durable, very playable. And now we get to merge in the Power Rangers.
And it's an interesting choice too, because all of the toys, at least in this initial wave, are Mighty Morphin, which has no like associated media to it right now.
But again, these guys are being, this section of the company is run by people our age. They know that the people who have kids right now are us. And what do we want to buy our kids? We want to buy our kids our toys. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
So in this assortment, Pat and I were talking about this before the show, trying to figure out what some of these descriptions meant. But there's going to be some figure packs, which we assume are two packs of characters, possibly like maybe a ranger and a bad guy, or maybe two rangers together. We don't know.
Yeah, if we go by what DC has been doing, or what they've been doing with DC, you usually get either two good guys or two bad guys. It's rare that you get, they do have one of Superman and Doomsday. I think it makes more sense when you buy a good guy and a bad guy together, but whatever, you know. So my guess is we're probably going to get at least one, you know, like maybe Goldar and the Green Ranger. That would be a great pack, actually.
That would be a great
pack. Might be the only one I buy, but...
Well, keep in mind, there's technically seven original Rangers because you have to count green and white.
Right. Do you have to?
You do.
I don't. I don't count white.
You should, because he was the best.
No, shut your mouth.
The Ranger figures come with their signature weapons, and the five originals actually do still combine to form the Power Blaster. So
that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Which is nice, because at least we know we're going to get the five original Rangers.
Yeah. There are four of these packs available, and since you need five to form a Power Blaster, we assume that they're two packs.
Right.
It doesn't say that they're two packs, but that's where our assumption comes from.
And again, the DC ones, especially the newer ones, they're almost always two packs unless they come with some kind of big rig, you know, like Green Arrow... came with a really huge arrow firing machine, or Gorilla Grodd, same price point, but obviously he was a much bigger character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they work it in there. So, but again, we understand that there are five main guys that would make the deal.
Right.
So we're getting the five guys, and I think, especially because the only two guys that they've shown us are probably the two guys that come with the Megazord, and they have the what is it?
The shield? The Dragon Shield.
Dragon Shield. They're wearing the Dragon Shield. So if they made those two guys and did not make the Green Ranger, that's just stupid.
The next assortment is two packs of Rangers and their Zords. So there's going to be three of those. You get one Ranger and one Zord. Don't know which Zords. And they're probably going to be moderately large. They're going to be those smaller...
Yeah, the mid-range characters are always... I would say the vehicles are around 6 to 7 inches at their longest. You know, so pretty big. Mm-hmm. And again, there's probably, you know, they like to leave room for the line to grow. So my guess is this is just wave one, you know. So that we're only getting three of the Zords, you probably shouldn't worry too much about. You know, you're going to get the rest of them.
The next is called the Battle Assortment. Now, we're not quite sure how this works, but it seems to be kind of like the smaller play sets. There's going to be a Red Ranger and the Tyrannosaurus Zord. And then there's just a Goldar and Rita Repulsa set, which we assume is the two figures plus some kind of play set or something like that. We're not quite sure. So those are the two.
The price point is how much?
$25.
Yeah. So for $25, I want to say that was the same price point as the that castle I mentioned a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're doing pretty good for a play set then.
Yeah. Finally, the big one is called the Morphin Megazord, and it's this massive playset, very tall. It's an entire assembled Megazord, you know, the original Megazord, and it's got, what does it got, Pat?
It's got it all.
Opening chest, light up eyes, knee morphs, quote unquote, into a cannon, fires. He's got like a disc shooter, power missile thing. In the back, there's a jail cell because every large, you know, place that needs a jail cell, a place to talk to Zordon. There's an elevator. There's a bunch of platforms. There's a bunch of those things for them to stand on. The way these, the way action features work on Imaginext usually is that there's a platform with feet cutouts, and you put the Imaginext guy on the platform and then turn it. And mm-hmm. then that guy has now activated that feature. So there's a lot of places like that to put the people. And like we said, the only picture we've seen of these was the Megazord playset was at Toy Fair. And it only had the black and red, what we call armored versions, when they're wearing the dragon shield. And that's also in the one official picture they've released, is those two. So we think it's going to be this playset plus these two figures. So you'll get the armored versions of these figures. And so since these exist, we know there will be a Green Ranger figure because they're using the same body, I'm sure, with a different head. But anyway, the thing looks pretty cool. I don't know how tall it is, but I got to imagine it's got to be like 18 inches to 2 feet tall. I mean, it's huge. It's massive.
Yeah, it's very, very, very big. So,
yeah. So anyway, so there's that. That's going to be $60, which you really can't beat these prices. The Zord sets are $15. The figure two packs are $7.50. It's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal for these guys. Very well. Lots of playability with these things and practically no danger of them breaking because they're for preschoolers. So, all right, that's going to do it for us today. I hope you've enjoyed all of our rants about, you know, equality and such. And if you would like to comment about any of this stuff, you could do so at our website, structuredgibberish.com, or email us at feedback@jibcast.tv, or go to facebook.com/structuredgibberish. Or go to google.com/+structuredgibberish, or find us on the Twitter @structuredgib, and I'm @_bsokol, and Pat's @greenlantern999, and Rave Skeletor is occasionally @RaveSkeletor.
He'll talk to you. You just gotta, you know, talk.
You gotta poke him sometimes. You give him the old Twitter poke. All right, we'll see you next week, guys.
Good night, everybody.